everyone. Welcome back to Total Nerd Lists, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Shane.
I'm Reggie.
I'm Tom.
And this week we're talking about one of my favorite things, cryptids.
What is a cryptid?
Well, do you want like the standard dictionary definition or do you want like...
Sum it up for us.
Okay.
Shane words.
In Shane words, cryptids are kind of myths, legends, stories passed down from others that may or may not be real, may or may not have hints of reality in them. A lot of them are based on true stories from what people see or what they think they see. And sometimes they just blow up to be phenomenons in certain areas. Hmm. They can be area specific. They can be nationwide, worldwide. So just anything or any creature that's out of the ordinary that isn't part of everyday life. That's okay. What I consider a cryptid.
Yeah, I was when I was doing my list, I looked it up and I got a couple of different definitions. One of them seemed to specifically say animals, but being from the skeptics community, I know that's cryptozoology. So
that's the technical definition.
Yeah, so I made my list mostly the animals.
I had a little bit of trouble defining it specifically because I kept going to more mythical things. So I ended up looking up a definition as well to help me with my list. And mine was like a cryptic versus mythic. Mm-hmm. And they're basically synonyms for one another. Cryptic is having hidden meaning, while mystic is related to mysticism or, you know, that kind of side of things. But I chose to interpret that they're the same thing and just went with it.
Yeah, they're very similar. Like, you'll see a lot of crossover in creatures and phenomena that happen.
Okay.
Yeah. I like this one. I struggled at the very beginning of starting it. And then once I got the ball rolling, I was like, Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel, too. I was like, what am I going to do for this? And then once I started doing it, came pretty easy.
Came naturally.
I had the opposite problem of you guys, where I was like, here's 20 that I like and love to read and listen about and hear about, but I was able to narrow it down kind of semi-easily, put a lot in honorable mentions, but don't worry, my honorable mentions aren't 20. They are 20 full.
They can be 50. we'll put a cap at 50 for future episodes.
But before we dive too much more into that, what are you guys nerding out on this week?
Oh, this week. Well, I know when this airs, it'll be a different holiday season.
But, yes.
Carved pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did this week. We're recording a week leading up to Halloween. Spoiler alert for anybody out there. But so we are definitely heavy Halloweening and finishing up the month.
I would not expect you to like Halloween at all.
Right? I know. I haven't. This is the first time I'm mentioning it. We also did another Hunt a Killer box, which is fun. We're doing like a 30s mystery. An actress was murdered.
Nice.
And it's a cold case.
We're currently doing the boy band.
Oh, nice.
One. It's pretty fun.
You already know the answer to the one I'm doing, though. You did it before.
Yeah, I got lost during that one, though. The people I played it with, my wife and my mother, really took the lead on that one. It was a lot of decoding.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that I do. And my husband, Corey, when we're doing it, we do the decoding stuff. And then the other two people we do it do read all of the paperwork and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, my God, this says, did you get the note? Oh, what does that mean? But it's still fun. I really liked it. The Pokemon DLC finally came out this week. Crown Tundra with the new Galar forms and the new Reggie forms and stuff like that.
Reggie forms.
You know, Reggie Rock, Reggie Ice, Reggie
Gigas. Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, your form.
I am from Pokemon. I forgot to tell you all that.
Reggie's so famous, he gets put into Pokemon.
Those are actually not my favorite ones, though. You would think because they're Reggie something, I would be like, no, still not. Really, really enjoying it. I got the Zapdos, Articuno, and Moltres birds, and they have different forms this time, and I didn't realize how much I was going to like the Articuno. It's a psychic flying type.
What?
And it's purple. It's really cute and pretty.
I really like psychic Pokemon.
I do too.
They're underrated.
They're not underrated. They're overpowered.
Are they?
You know, I'm, well,
everyone likes like electrical and water things and fire.
I like fairy and psychic mm-hmm. types and water types. I wish that there was like, you know, a really good grouping of those types of Pokemon, but they always seem to be like weaker. You know what I mean? There's like 10 really, really strong Pokemon that mm-hmm. everybody uses for the competitive teams. Mm-hmm. I wish that some of those cutesier, you know, ones were a little bit more buffed
yes.
up.
Yeah, Alakazam was my first trade evolution ever. I never really like went and traded with my friends when you had to have the link cable and everything. Oh, yeah. So it was like trading with myself on two different Game Boys. But yeah, Alakazam, first trade evolution ever.
When was that? How old were you?
Fourth grade.
My first trading of Pokemon occurred when I was in college.
Oh, wow.
I never had the opportunity or people to play mm-hmm. Pokemon with link cables to trade and yeah. stuff, and I didn't have two. So I literally, my first time ever trading Pokemon with somebody was actually when Corey and I were playing together many eons ago for Diamond and Pearl.
Aww.
Dragula, also that drag, mm-hmm. alternative drag show that I have mentioned before. They had a Halloween special come out on Shudder that was
awesome.
Amazing. I will say that I cried during it. And when I say cried, I mean like I bawled my eyes out and did the, it was amazing. It was a documentary plus the reality competition plus like a movie. They do cheesy bad horror movie skits and stuff with it, and but the documentary part was so powerful. Like they went to the queen's hometowns and mm-hmm. spent a week with them while they got ready for an at-home presentation, and so you get to learn a lot about who they are, and the one of them does win, and I was telling Corey while I was watching, I was like, if this person does not win, I'm going to be so upset. And thankfully they did at the end.
Yay.
There was also a post-credit surprise. So if anybody out there watched it and didn't stay after the credits, go back. It's important.
You weren't crying. I was crying.
We were all crying. I had something in my eye. It's fine. And then the last thing, I've been preparing for the awesome Halloween special show that mm-hmm. Shane wrote for our community theater as the Beanstalk Turns. So my week has been busy. I talked a lot.
Sounds like
it's fine.
Yeah, busy.
What about you, Tom?
Well, I started rewatching The Boys with my wife. She kind of caught bits and pieces the first time around. She's not usually a superhero person, so it's pretty fun to rewatch it with her. Another thing that I'm kind of a nerd for is blood clot mm-hmm. awareness. I actually had what's called a clotiversary this week in the blood clot community. That's the date where you had your blood clot. 2 years ago, I had a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in your lung. Still recovering from that, but you know, I've tried to do a lot with awareness for that. So if you're listening to this, go check out stoptheclot.org. Learn the symptoms of that stuff, because I definitely didn't think I had a blood clot when it happened and could have died.
What are some quick things that we should know about?
I thought mine was a chest cramp. I thought it was like delayed onset muscle soreness from doing a workout the day before. So I just kind of let it go. And the final straw that took me to the hospital as I was driving, and it felt like I was being stabbed, but I thought I had just like hurt my ribs or something. It started out as just like a crampy feeling, but other things like shortness of breath, coughing up blood, cramping in your legs, discoloration in your legs and arms.
Yikes.
But yeah, that was scary, but also, you know, life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you made it through that, buddy.
I'm absolutely glad I made
glad
it too.
You're with us still.
And our millions of fans listening to this podcast right now should be glad as well to still have me.
We love our millions of fans.
Millions of fans. I love doing this podcast sitting here in our multi-billion-dollar studio.
I know. It's just so hard driving that Lambo in every time we have to record. Oh, wow.
We do really appreciate everyone, though.
No, we really do. We mentioned before about the messages and the comments mm-hmm. and the stuff. All that's really awesome. We really appreciate every single one of you guys. Thank you.
Yes.
Another thing I started, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. It's my wife got it for me for Christmas last year. I was kind of stuck in another open world game, but it's an open world Dragon Ball Z game. Very similar to, it's like Dragon Ball Z mixed with Animal Crossing in the sense that you can go around collecting stuff. You can just play straight through the story if you want, but it's fun and it's a bit different fighting style. If you've played the Budokai games, it's not like Mortal Kombat where you're just fighting back and forth. If you played Dragon Ball Z Raging Blast, it's one where you're like fighting actually the way they do in the show, like all over the place.
Open world fighting.
So it's really fun. I finished Murder House, American Horror Story. I loved it until like the last two episodes, and then there were just plot holes galore. It bothered me that apparently all you had to do to make the ghosts go away is say go away, and numerous characters knew that and didn't tell their friends who then got attacked by ghosts, and it was just that just bothered me quite a lot.
Didn't they have to say it like three times in a row, if I remember correctly? They'd be like, go away, go away, go away, and then it get like sucked away.
No, it was literally just they had to say go away once.
I remember watching that because that's the very first season. Yeah. I definitely watched it back when it was on TV. What was that, 100 years ago or so?
And it bothered me because Dylan McDermott gets attacked by ghosts and his wife and daughter know how to make the ghosts go away. And apparently the ghosts in this show are omnipotent, but they can't just show up and tell all the other ghosts to go away and stop trying to hurt their dad and husband. So that just bothered me. And then we started Asylum, but haven't gotten super far into that.
That one was, I really enjoyed Asylum. It was genuinely terrifying, though.
Mm-hmm. Asylum is one of my favorites.
First time watching it when it was on television, like, I was scared at night watching it.
Well, and also just the Sarah Paulson being involuntarily committed. I can't stand storylines where someone gets, like, held against their will.
And because she was a lesbian, that also, like, you know, I'm not a lesbian, I'm a gay man, but being committed for being gay, that also, I think, had a lot of fear factor in it for me, because that is something that, while my family would never do that, there are other people out there that would.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened.
Yeah. Scary.
It was one of the scariest parts of that season, and that season will include other very scary things that I won't spoil for you or anyone else that hasn't seen it yet. But Asylum is one of my favorites, and it's one of my favorites because they went really dark with it, and they do such a good job.
They went hard.
Mm-hmm.
And also, have you all seen Session 9 before?
Yes.
Session 9.
It was a horror movie filmed in the Danvers Mental Institution.
I feel like I have seen that.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely has a lot of Session 9 feels to it. And I almost feel like they were paying homage to that. Another thing I watched this week, Batman the Killing Joke, which is heavy storyline, but it's also really cool because it's the same like WB style animation we grew up with the animated show, but just very dark adult storylines. It's rated
Mark
R.
Mark Hamill do the voice of Joker? Mark, what's his name?
Kevin Conroy?
Yeah, he does Batman in that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they came back for this.
Yeah, Mark Hamill plays the Joker, and then Tara Strong, the voice of Timmy Turner, is Batgirl.
Raven.
She's Raven? I didn't know that.
Is she Starfire as well? I thought Starfire was somebody different. I know she's Strong. Raven for sure.
Maybe I'm getting it confused.
She's everything.
She really is.
Her IMDb is like 40
Bubbles
pages
from Powerpuff Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I love that storyline. I mean, not because of what happens, but I mean, it is in a sense an origin story for the Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's how Barbara Gordon becomes the Oracle, and the messed up stuff that happens to her is gut wrenching. I have that whole series in a hardback.
Nice.
I really appreciate the Bat Family story. So I have a lot of sentimental stuff like that.
I will say there is one part that bothered me though. A guy sold his carnival to the Joker, who was obviously the Joker, and it wasn't like the Joker was like unknown at the time.
Yeah.
He just like sold his carnival to a guy who looked exactly like the Joker. And I was like,
yeah, that was a little bogus. In the comics, there's a character, his name's the Broker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who procures hideouts for all of the villains. He calls it his eccentric clientele. And then there's a character, her name is the Carpenter, like from the Carpenter and the Walrus. She's part of the Alice in Wonderland gang. She will do renovations to layers and stuff like that in the comic books. You meet her, you get to know her up close and personal during the Gotham City Sirens. Which is the Poison Ivy, Catwoman, Harley Quinn story, which is, you know, centered around them three, which, of course, you know, I love Poison Ivy. So it kind of explains, like, how some of these villains get their hideouts and stuff like that. And so, like, Catwoman was like, okay, I've got a bunch of money and we need a place to hide. And so she's like, hey, what do you have in the style of cat stuff? And he's like, oh, I have a big cat sanctuary that's been closed. And might I interest you in an abandoned amusement park?
Real estate broker to the villains.
Yeah. I'm sure he probably does some real estate for the good guys, too. I mean, people, I know the Carpenter, while she was a part of a villain gang, she did work for heroes as well as villains, because money's money.
Yeah.
Best in the West.
And they both have a need for a secret hideout.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I know I've been rambling a bit, but comics, I finished. I got to the end of the free East of West on Comixology, which was depressing. I am going to spend money to finish that. It's a great one. But then I started Black Science. Have y'all ever heard of that?
I have not.
It's, I guess it's a guy basically invents a interdimensional jumping device thing, and it's, they kind of get stuck jumping between dimensions, but really, like I've said before, it's got great illustrations, really cool looking monsters, and just exploring a bunch of different dimensions. So I haven't gotten super far into that, but I'm sure I'll be talking about it.
That sounds cool.
But that was my week in nerd.
Awesome.
We've both been busy. Shane, how busy have you been this week?
I have been uber busy this week, mainly with writing, which, as you guys know by now, it's a huge thing I nerd out on. I do a lot of it. I'm doing a lot of it currently. You know, I did some minor changes to our Halloween episode coming up for As the Beanstalk Turns.
Minor changes. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I really loved it.
I'm also started working on the Thanksgiving episode for that series as well, that will air sometime in November, to be announced.
Gobble, gobble. Is there going to be someone's ridiculous uncle?
I don't know. And I only say I don't know because we're so limited with the streaming service we use with how many people we have. Oh, so if most of the cast comes back, there's very little room for new cast, unfortunately.
Because we do it online. We don't actually have, it's not a person show. It's an online web show. You can check it out on our Facebook
page. There's some going on in the world right now that keeps us from doing in-person stuff. I don't know what it is.
But the other big thing that I have been preparing for, by the time this airs, I will be, I guess, dived headfirst into NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, which is November. It takes place from November 1st through the 30th, and it's kind of like an official thing where if you sign up to do NaNoWriMo, which I encourage all our listeners to do with me, if you do, let me know. I am Klain on there, K-L-A-I-N, and we'll write a novel, not like together, but we'll do it at the same time. We'll each write our own. And I'm really excited for NaNoWriMo because I've been working on a series for the past few years, every April and November, for NaNoWriMo and Camp NaNoWriMo, which is the practice session for National Novel Writing Month, where you get to choose your word limit, because for November, you have to do 50,000 words because that's what is considered a novel. But for the practice in April, you can do as many as many or few as you want. And I generally always set my goal 30,000 in April, and then I exceed it and end up writing another novel. But I have a series that I'm working on. I'm 7 books in, or I guess I should say 6. What? This one will be the 7th one. I'm very excited for it. I want to get it published soon, but it's my baby right now, so.
Can you share the name with us, what the series is?
Absolutely. It's called Willow Hollow, and the Willow Hollow series is actually 2 separate book series. It's Willow Hollow and Willow Swamp, so they're sister series. And because I'm such a huge nerd for, like, crossovers, I wrote this past April a crossover event book for the 2 series. So all the characters, which sometimes pop up in the books randomly anyway, but this was a big crossover event. There was a main villain. Everyone had to fight. The good guys, the bad guys, because there are definite good guys and bad guys in this series, even though it's not a superhero-themed novel. But there's definitely some good versus evil, and then there was one thing that kind of forced them to work together in the crossover.
Okay.
Is this the same series that you're making your card game based off of?
It is one of the series that it's based off of because the card game encompasses my whole writing universe. Oh, it's
your entire multiverse. Yeah. I see.
Okay. Yeah, I made a little multiverse of my own.
Shane multiverse.
The Shaneverse.
I call it the Slimverse.
The Slimverse? That is
great. Yes. I am familiar with Slim.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
Yes, Slim, it means so much to me. It's my nickname for anyone that doesn't know that. If anyone knows me, when I was younger, it's kind of my nickname. It's my initials with an I added in because back in the day of the NES days, when you had to put a name in, it's usually like three letters long. So I'd do SLM and just call myself Slim.
Oh, you're way more mature than me.
I mean, don't I have a couple games on your Pi saved with a ass as the as the high score?
If they weren't already mine.
But that's where I came up with that. And then within the Slimverse are three separate Slims, actually. So there's the one Reggie knows, and then there's two others that he doesn't know of yet.
I like Shane's work.
I like it, too.
Thank you.
Really good. It's really good.
Yeah, so that's been my week. Writing.
Busy.
Busy, busy, busy.
Okay, so I will start with my list of my favorite cryptids. My top five, starting with number five. First one I listed was Mothman. Mothman is creepy in the fact that a Mothman could potentially exist. But the other thing that's really creepy is he's kind of more associated as like a harbinger of death because alleged sightings have placed him in areas right before something bad happens. Like there was a bridge collapse, people dying, whatnot. So Mothman isn't something that really necessarily is dangerous per se, but if you saw him, you would just want to get far, far away from wherever you are.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that? Is that West Virginia?
Virginia? Somewhere like that. I remember being, it's one of the Virginias.
I want to say
Ohio, maybe?
I want to say more Ohio area, but I could totally be wrong.
I think it's on
Richard Gere's in the movie. I know that
much. Yeah, that's all I know.
Which movie?
The Mothman Prophecies. Isn't that what that whole movie is about him? I only saw it once. Yeah. It scared the crap out of me.
It scared the crap out of my brother. I never saw it.
And the Mothman is a big fear of my husband's, too.
Yes. Like, well, there's that movie, and then there's just a Mothman movie that I like probably a little better that's from sci-fi, because I love cheesy sci-fi movies.
Is he a man that's part moth? What makes him Mothman?
Yeah, he's part moth, part man. So it's typically depicted as a humanoid-like body, moth head, wings, but he has arms as well. So,
human arms?
Yes.
People fingers and stuff?
In the incarnations I've seen and read about, yes.
So if we want him to like not cause our deaths, maybe we should just build a giant lamp and turn that on. Yes. And then he'll just be running into a light bulb for the rest of time.
Some kind of flashlight so you can distract him and then throw it and run the other way.
Glow sticks.
Although Shane said he's not. So there's no like reports of him attacking people. He's just seen when disasters happen.
Correct. I think I've read also a few reports in my limited knowledge of Mothman where people have said like he's sometimes like chased their cars in the air, like they've seen them like beside of the car, if I remember correctly.
That's some Jeepers Creepers stuff right there.
A little bit. So yeah, it's totally definitely creepy, but most of the stories about him are like he appeared here, then something bad has happened. Moving on, number four is one that kind of came from childhood because it first came in existence, or I guess knowledge, if you believe. El Chupacabra from Mexico.
El Chupacabra.
Yes, the dog slash wolf like vampire-ish thing.
Goat sucker.
The goat sucker, yes.
Right? Everyone learned about it in like second grade Spanish class.
That's when it was happening. That's when it became a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's recent?
Nineties.
I did not know that. I thought it was like a ancient thing. I was reading in my preparation for this, and didn't it originate in Puerto Rico, actually?
Yeah, I think it's a Latin or North American.
It's like started in Puerto Rico and then I guess migrated to Texas.
In Mexico.
So is that a monster? Is it what's scary about the chupacabra? I guess it doesn't have to be scary.
But yeah, I think the thing that's scary about it is that it has attacked, seemingly, I don't recall any, like, people attacks from Chupacabra, just that people have seen Chupacabra and, you know, maybe been chased off by it or ran away from it. But it attacks animals and drains them of their blood, sort of like a vampire.
That's why it's goat sucker, I guess.
Yes. Yep.
Nothing doesn't turn them to stone or something like that, too? No?
No.
I'm confusing my monsters. My cryptids.
Yeah, no, nothing that I know of from it. Everything's just been like, it's something that's attacked the livestock, which a lot of times often in vampiric mythology, it starts with animals and then moves along to people, which is a scary thing.
Was there a What's New Scooby-Doo about it?
Yes, oh, absolutely. There's a movie about it.
There was?
The Scooby-Doo movie canon. I think it's like the Monster of Mexico, and it's a El Chupacabra-like beast.
I thought I remembered something with Scooby-Doo and the Chupacabra.
Yes. Well, and I'm sure there's like an episode about it.
That was Futurama. Futurama. El Chupacabra, right?
Yes.
I almost put him on my list. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's from a cartoon. Never mind.
What about the werecar?
The werecar. Corey mentioned that one when I was talking to him about the list, too.
My next one is Goatman.
Goatman.
And Goatman I've only recently learned about. But Goatman is a very, actually, really scary-looking creature because it's depicted in most forms in ways that we picture, like, demons or the devil to a degree with, like, hoof feet, goat-like body, or that looks similar to a humanoid body with the goat head, big horns. And Goatman has said to have killed some people, and of course there's nothing on official record about it, but animals in very deep wooded areas in the northeast, I think, probably a little bit in south as well.
Is he the mortal enemy of the Chupacabra?
No, I don't think so.
No arch enemy situation?
Crossover, though.
Shane, ride it.
Right, yeah. What does he do?
Goatman seems to kill everything that it comes in contact with.
Just like eats them, tears them up. What? How does he kill them?
I don't know. It's a mystery. Like, well, they are torn. Yeah, no one's
headbutted it.
Remains have been found, and remains are usually scattered about or missing. Like, some, I think the first alleged story about like Goatman was that it attacked, unfortunately, a dog. And when they went back, the head was all that was left.
The cat did it.
Of course.
The goat. So Goatman's really just, it's really, really creepy because it's a depiction of what we kind of also picture like demons and, you know, things that would come from hell if you believe in that. The image is very much in that form.
Every week you guys might hear bird whistling. That's because we have a clock that on the hour it does different birds in from North Carolina. So if you ever hear that, that's what it is. That's all.
Also, I'm a falcon wrangler. I'm wearing a glove right now and have a falcon with a little hood on it.
Sorry, Shane.
That's all right. Moving right along to one I do know a little more about and I've always been fascinated with ever since I was a child. Nessie, Loch Ness Monster.
Nessie.
Oh, Nessie.
Yes.
Is Nessie on all of our lists?
Maybe. And if so, that's cool.
I mean, Nessie is the cryptid, I feel like.
I think so. Nessie's the poster child for cryptids. And I always think it's really cool, even though we haven't sadly found any evidence yet. That's the one I want to be found. I don't know why, because she's usually depicted as, one, a female, and two, as a plesiosaurus.
Yeah.
And I just, one, I think that'd be really cool to find it. Horrifying to a certain degree. But I've always wanted to go to Loch Ness and see if I have my own sighting.
Well, it always seemed like a gentle creature.
Even yeah.
It's a dinosaur or whatever, lake monster. It's always... never seemed to do any harm.
Nessie's never, like, there's no Nessie attacks on record.
Yeah.
It's only been attacked by Mr. Burns in The Simpsons.
Wasn't there a cartoon kid show that was about the Loch Ness? I know there was.
Dragon
I
Tales?
I remember it clear as day. It was like
I vaguely Nessie, remember something
it
like
very,
it.
I want to say it was very, like, for girls. Not very for girls. How do you say that? What's proper English? It was.
I thought it was more educational.
I think it was geared towards the female, which, I mean, of course, means anybody could watch it, which is probably why I was so like, I love this.
It's in the same way that like Dora's for girls and Diego or Diego's for boys.
Yeah, you know, in that
sense. I love Dora. I watched her so much on snow days because that's all that was on TV when we would have snow days in Boone. Nick
I
Jr.
miss that one. I think I'm a little bit older. So I missed that one.
Yeah, as I say, Dora was past my
Blue's
time.
Blues. No,
I mean, I'm not saying I was old enough to be watching Dora the Explorer. I'm telling you that daytime TV was terrible, and Nick Jr. was the only thing on when we were out of school for snow. So I watched Nick Jr. well into my teens.
But I do remember something, some type of cartoon that was geared towards children like that. But yeah, Nessie, just the idea that we could have missed something. I love it. I don't know why. I'll watch anything, I'll read anything about it every time I see a new sighting. there are photos galore. Most of them have been debunked, but yeah, sadly. So nothing yet, but that doesn't mean nothing can't be out there.
It's the OG cryptoid.
Exactly. And finally, my top pick, my favorite, which some may seem as controversial a little bit, because it's probably not the first thing you think of when you think cryptid, but vampires.
Ooh. Vampire.
Mm-hmm. And they do count as cryptids. I've done my research. I've always been fascinated by vampires as well, ever since I was really young. Just like the idea of this nocturnal, humanoid, monstrous creature that can fly through the night, suck your blood, but perish by sunlight if they stay out too long. And, you know, vampires are usually perceived as fictional, but there are people that consider themselves vampires, and they do have roots in reality more so than people think. I'm not just talking about Vlad the Impaler, which is a huge...
origin of Dracula. Origin,
absolutely. Yeah. Really? And inspired Bram Stoker's Dracula novel.
That's what Dracula is.
I did not know
Vlad
that.
The Impaler.
Mm-hmm.
Who had a gay brother.
Did he?
Raul Vladimir, I think.
Mm-hmm. Raul the Impaler.
Yeah, it wasn't the Impaler.
No.
But yeah, there's a Drunk History episode about it's a Halloween special, and they talk about Vlad's gay brother. Corey went as him for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. The thing that I like about vampires and their roots in history is that a lot of times, especially in the Middle Ages, when the plague was a thing, not the current day plague that we're fighting, but the other plague, the original plague. Vampire superstition thrived in the very similar way as the witchcraft trials in the Puritan times. So, and I jotted down.
A lot harder to burn vampires at the stake, though, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and the other thing that also kind of, I think, spurred that is the fact that there were premature burials. So people were getting buried alive. People were being, you know, pronounced as dead, and they weren't dead, and they would awaken, so they came back from the dead, even though they were never really dead to begin with.
I'm not dead yet. I got better.
That's why old-timey graves had bells on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if something, for some reason, they weren't actually dead and they woke up, they could ring the bell like, hey, I'm alive. Hey, dig me back up.
Yeah, so you had that as a thing. You have the plague as a thing. And then there are just other diseases we did not understand at the time. You know, people are dying left and right of just so many things. And one of the things that historians believe that contributed to the rise of vampirism was a blood disorder. I don't know how to pronounce it. I had to write it down. It's spelled like porphyria, maybe? I don't know.
Porphyria?
It's P-O-R-P-H-Y.
Hold on, write it down. Spell it again. P-O-R.
P-H-Y-R-I-A.
I don't know.
It's a blood disorder that...
Porphyria?
That might sound more correct.
He told us how to spell it anyway.
It's a blood disorder that actually causes your skin to blister when you're in the sunlight, which of course is, you know, how one of the ways that you can kill a vampire or how to discover a vampire. So you had that going along. And then just any time there was a false sighting of like, oh, I saw so-and-so, they came back from the dead, they would dig up the body. And because cartilage and hair and nails still grow after death, they would assume they were vampire and stick them right through the heart.
Huh.
Just so they could not rise anymore and make their family member sick. So that was the other big thing, is if someone's family member was sick, it was the person who died that was causing it.
Huh. It's less that their hair and nails grow and more that their skin recedes. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times they're digging them up too soon, too. So they're like, oh, there's, you know, they still look alive.
Well, yeah, they died yesterday.
Exactly.
I also wonder how much, like, tuberculosis factors into vampires, just because I feel like that's a lot of people.
There's a case
coughing up blood.
Well, it isn't there, like, iron in blood? So if you had, like, an iron deficiency, like, you could kind of crave it or something.
Possibly.
Especially back in the day before they had iron supplements and alternatives.
Or just,
you know,
good nutrition and health care in general.
I do often joke because I don't eat a lot of red meat. But when my body needs it, I start to crave it. And I'll often joke, I'm like, if I don't get red meat soon, I will want blood. I don't care. I want it raw. And of course, I don't really mean that. I think you're right about that. So it's funny that, you know, people didn't understand something and we came up with this myth to explain it that's actually really horrifying and kind of morbid, that someone has died, it's their fault, their family member's getting sick, they've come back because their hair's grown, and, you know, they haven't decomposed in, like you said, a couple of days or sometimes weeks. Because decomposition takes a long time, especially if you live in a colder area.
Where do we get the high collar vampire capes from? Is that just a Transylvania thing or what?
I'm sure that's probably just the same thing of like dressing a witch as a witch. Mm-hmm. You know, you dress a vampire as a vampire.
Very true. But as I mentioned before, like I said, there are still self-proclaimed vampires to this day who, you know, may be nocturnal by choice.
Not just moody goth kids.
Either. No, absolutely like not. Like, these are people who
think they are vampires.
Who partake in the vampiric lifestyle, as they call it. And some of them will feed on energy, as they say. Others...
Sanguinarian, I think is the word.
I don't know.
I only know that because South Park makes fun of it. Mm-hmm. When the Twilight stuff was out, and the kid was like, I'm more of a sanguinarian vampire. I feed off life energy,
per se. There was also a Criminal Minds episode that I think talked about like the actual like dysphoria that led people to like feed on blood.
Gross.
Because I was getting ready to mention there, and then there are others who feed on blood from willing donated blood.
We need a Buffy.
Yes.
We need a real vampire slayer, which is what my vampire association, of course, I hear the word vampire and I immediately go to the Buffyverse.
I think mine probably strongly came from that, especially the Buffy movie that I saw when I was really younger, because I've always, like, low-key wanted to be a slayer.
there's no low-key for me. I straight up, people who know me know I wanted to be a slayer, even though I was a guy. I was like, I don't care.
Yes. Well, see, I don't want to do it so much in the Buffy sense. I just want to be the chosen one that can do it.
Everybody
like their
wants
enemy.
To be some kind of chosen
of
one.
Of course.
And I mean, who knows? Maybe one day your mom might date a vampire, like in that Disney Channel movie.
With Caroline Ray. Mom's got a date with a vampire.
Yes.
That was terrifying.
And so technically vampires still exist to this day, even in 2020. Huh. I want to run through my honorable mentions really quick. The first one I have down is semi-local, not so much to the area where we are, but it's a North Carolina cryptid, the Beast of Bladenboro.
Yes, I read about this one.
Yes. Unfortunately, I think that one's probably debunked a little easily than we would all like to believe.
Well, they think it's a mixture of a wolf and a panther. So it's some kind of big...
Some kind of large cat-like
large
thing. Large
cat-looking thing that ate some livestock. Mm-hmm. What was it? In like 53 and 54,
I think, is when... I think that was around the time. And they had hunts for this beast that started out with a few people and then grew larger to like 1,000 people hunting for this beast. Probably, unfortunately, killing too much of the local life that they would bring in and then be like, look, because there was a reward if you killed it. You would get the money. But so that's a local one I had to include on my honorable mentions. Also, semi-local down in South Carolina, the Lizard Man of Lee County.
Is that the guy who runs all the world governments?
Those are lizard people.
Yeah, people. I think they're a little different because this is an alleged wild beast that exists.
Is it a humanoid lizard, human man thing?
Humanoid lizard, not so much like the reptilian ones, like the ones that were supposedly from space, but more of a hybrid between a mix of a lizard and a man that is living down in South Carolina.
Was that the myth or the legend where it escaped from the school? Like it was an experiment from the university gone bad and it escaped?
I don't recall. I don't think so.
Read a lot of hybrid throughout the local, and a lot of them were like, oh, it was a experiment that escaped from this, or blah, blah, blah.
I also had to include Bigfoot on my list. Bigfoot is not my favorite cryptid. In fact, when I'm watching things about cryptids or reading the stories, those are kind of the ones I skip over because there's so many Bigfoots. They're so common. Like, Bigfoot, for me, is the Kardashian of cryptids.
Oh.
Did y'all watch the Rugrats episode where they're looking for the Satchmo?
Yes.
Satchmo, I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. So it's just, it's not my thing.
But you gotta mention it. It's like the cryptid besides Nessie and probably the Yeti.
Absolutely. And then finally, one last honorable mention I wanted to put on my list, which may or may not be a cryptid, depending on what you believe. Bunnyman.
Bunnyman?
Bunnyman is a murderer. that is dressed as a bunny, or maybe as a bunny. That's the thing. It's either, a lot of people think it could be an escaped, unfortunately, an escaped mental patient that went on a murder spree, or that there is actually a bunny-like man that exists. We don't know.
When was this?
I don't remember when the time period. I just remember reading when I was researching about this, about the bunny man.
Guy killing people in a bunny mask.
Yeah. Not to be confused with, like, the Bioshock game with the splicers. Ooh. That's creepy.
Yes. But so that's my list. All right. Next up, Reggie has prepared some trivia for us, some cryptid trivia that I'm very excited about.
And he can't sweep us this week.
I can't.
No.
No sweeping.
Unless we get all the questions wrong.
That's right. So although I guess it's possible. A lot of these questions, it's from a pre-made quiz. I didn't make this quiz. some of the things we've talked about have our questions on here. So we'll see how well we've listened.
Uh-oh.
All right. There are plenty of tales of giant ape-like creatures with near-human intelligence.
Bigfoot?
They've been called Bigfoot, Sasquatch, in different places around the world. In what country are you most likely to find the Yeti, Sasquatch, or Bigfoot?
The U.S.?
Japan, Korea, Mongolia, or Tibet?
Oh.
Tibet.
Tibet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's, I think, specifically, like, the Yeti, the ice.
Yeah.
Creature.
I didn't know it was going to be multiple choice.
Yeah, are they multiple choice all the time? Or do we need to answer fast?
Some of them. You don't have to answer fast.
I always thought the Bigfoot was originally from like the Pacific Northwest, but I guess there are plenty of legends similar to Bigfoot. I just thought specifically Bigfoot.
So who got that? Did Shane get that?
I did.
Shane got that. All right.
Yeah, because I wasn't listening.
The New Jersey Devil is said to look like a goblin with large leathery feet, a dog with a spiky tail, a horse with bat-like wings, a lion with a shark's head.
Hey.
A goblin with large leathery feet?
Yes.
What do you think, Shane?
If he's going with eggs, that's kind of considering a, what was the third one?
A horse with bat-like wings, a lion with shark's head, a dog with a spiky tail.
I'll go with horse bat-like wings.
Horse with bat-like wings.
Dang.
Those were the two I was considering.
Almost all witnesses describe a creature that looks like a small, emaciated horse that walks on its hind legs and has huge bat-like wings hanging from its shoulders. It has been reported to move quickly and is often described as emaciating, a blood-curdling... Emanating a blood-curdling scream. All right, Shane, I'm going to rely on you to get this one.
Uh-oh.
The Mothman sightings of Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Oh, I was right. West Virginia. Are strongly linked to a disaster that occurred in 1967. What happened?
The bridge collapsed. I don't know what bridge.
The collapse of Silver Bridge is what the bridge was. But yeah, we talked about that earlier. I was like... Oh, and he even mentioned the bridge. I know that's a question.
It was reflecting light, and then the Mothman ran into the bridge, and it fell down.
1966, Roger and Linda Scarberry, together with Steve and Mary Mallett, witnessed a large white creature whose eyes glowed red in the beam of the car's headlights. They described it as a large flying man with 10-foot wings. There were many future sightings, including one where the Mothman was spotted on the Point Pleasant Silver Bridge, which later collapsed.
Huh.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In which part of the UK are you most likely to find Nessie?
Scotland. Loch Ness. Yeah.
Scotland! That was not a good Scottish accent.
That's okay. I'm not even going to try because mine would be awful.
This beast was said to have the body of a man, but the head of a bull.
Bull man.
What kind of beast? It's a mythological beast.
Centaur.
Not a centaur.
Nope.
Minotaur.
Minotaur. There you go.
There you go.
One of those tars.
One of them there tars. Which T-A-U-R, isn't that Latin for bull?
Bull. Yeah, you're right.
Look at me being all educated. Mama proud right now. Okay, the name Chupacabra strikes fear into the hearts of many people in Costa Rica and the southern states of America. What does that mean?
Goat sucker.
Goat sucker. We already talked about that.
Yes.
Oh, this one's going to be so easy, too. I gave this answer away.
Uh-oh.
The Bladenboro Beast of North Carolina attacked a wide range of pets and farm animals during 1953 and 1954. Witnesses described it as...
That was your choices?
There are choices. Oh, okay. I gave this answer, so you guys should remember it.
I'm a bad listener.
What was the Bladenboro Beast?
It was a cat. It was a cat. Usually like a mountain lion panther.
It was a half-wolf, half-panther.
Half-wolf, half-panther.
Many British people believe that there are strange wild animals roaming the countryside. Most witnesses who've seen them say they are...
Mice?
Kind of big cats do they think are roaming in the countryside?
Mountain lions.
Leopards.
No, leopards?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Many British people believe that the leopards and other large cats were released into the wild when aristocrats lost interest in maintaining their private zoos. These animals bred and survived by feeding on sheep and other livestock. Mm-hmm.
Aristocrats or aristocrats?
Did I say cats?
Yes.
That's Disney for you. The Blue Men of... Minch, M-I-N-C-H, Minch.
Okay, yeah, go
for it. The Blue Men of Minch are said to be what kind of creatures?
Aliens?
Blue Men?
What kind of creatures are they?
Humanoids?
You're DQ'd. mermaids and mermen.
Oh, I did not know that.
The Minch is the name of a wide stretch of water that separates the Isles of Lewis from mainland Scotland.
Huh.
Legend tells of a race of strange sea creatures that live off the coast in the Isle. Known as the Blue Men of Minch, they are said to hunt in the stretch of sea between... similar to mermaids and mermen, they have skin like a dolphin and legs that work like a fish's tail.
Hmm.
Okay.
Very interesting. All right, one more. It's known as the death worm, and it is over a meter in length. According to cryptozoologists, it is able to kill by spraying venom. Which desert is said to be its home? The Nimbai Desert, the Sahara Desert, or the Gobi Desert?
Gobi.
Yeah.
The Gobi.
I was wondering if it was if they meant it was one of those worms at the bottom of a bottle of tequila.
Tequila worms.
Or what is that called? Mezcal or something?
Isn't there a specific type though? Is it a mealworm that's in there or something?
Sure.
Ugh.
All right, Shane 3, Tom 4.
Good job.
I won my first trivia.
Won your first trivia.
I'm so proud of me.
Good job. Well, yes. Somebody had to win and I was a play this time.
All right, that was fun. That was great. Congrats, Tom.
It's good to finally win something.
Yes. Well, and it's cool that you won because your list is next. What you got?
Okay, my first one, described as two eyes, two ears, a chin, a mouth, 10 fingers, 2 nipples, a butt, 2 kneecaps, a penis. I have just described to you the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh my God.
We're all Loch Ness Monsters.
That was from The Office. If you've watched that, the character Creed just throws that out there in an episode.
And I am not.
The moment I heard we were doing Cryptid and saw that episode, I was like, "Yep, oh, I have to repeat that on here."
Yes, that's great.
I like it. One of the most famouses. one of the most famous. I like the nickname Nessie. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool. Love the South Park. Reference to the Loch Ness Monster asking people for
tree fitty.
And I'm a big dinosaur fan, so that one is definitely on there.
We said it already. Plesiosaurus, right?
Plesiosaurus.
Mm-hmm. Plesiosaurus.
And then there was also a Simpsons episode where they go to Loch Ness, and Mr. Burns captures the Loch Ness Monster, and it's like a King Kong storyline where it starts destroying everything.
I read a book when I was younger that was like a preteen scary storybook that was about Loch Ness, and it had something to do with Stonehenge as well.
Ooh.
Something about going under the water. Oh, man, I wish I could remember more about it. But something about going in the water and then finding a cave and then teleporting somewhere and something. I don't remember.
I will say, though, with the Loch Ness Monster, if the picture you've probably seen is called the surgeon's photo, taken by a surgeon. But if you actually, the photo you've probably seen is very cropped. But if you look at the actual picture, it almost looks a bit more like a duck. Because it's a lot, the picture you've probably seen makes it look a lot bigger than it actually is. And I've actually heard, when I was doing my research for it, they've talked about it being a giant aquatic centipede.
Gross.
Which is probably more terrifying than it being a dinosaur. If you
I'd rather
me.
Be a dinosaur.
Yeah. But yeah,
sweet and cute and lovable and huggable.
Gotta love Nessie. Mm-hmm. Next one, my wife actually, told me to do this one, the Eastern Cougar.
Eastern cougar, which is not just an older woman.
No, it's what you would consider a mountain lion, and they're considered extinct on the East Coast. There have been a lot of sightings, but the main thing about those is that they say that while some people might have seen a mountain lion in like Tennessee or North Carolina, if it was a mountain lion, it probably doesn't mean they're back because there's no evidence of reproducing females in the area. So it might've just been one that had wandered far from home, but also they think that it's probably just more likely people are seeing bobcats and it's playing some tricks in their eyes. But yeah, the mountain lions are extinct. I mean, we have the Carolina Panthers. There's the Florida Panthers.
Not just the football team.
Yeah. Well, that's actual I guess that's Panthers. Where they got their name. But, you know, there aren't actually any mountain lions or panthers reproducing in North Carolina anymore. So cool to keep it local. Next one, my brother turned me on to this one, and I think it's hilarious. Have y'all heard of the Sandown Clown?
The Sandown Clown?
Yes.
I've heard of that name. Tell us about it.
It's one of those that you just hear about it and you're like, that didn't happen. But so basically in 1973, two young children were vacationing in Lake Common, the Isle of Wight in UK. And they started following a sound that sounded like an ambulance siren. And they wandered across a footbridge and met a unidentifiable being that's been described as a cross between a clown, a robot, and an alien. And it was made out of wood and metal and had paper skin and only spoke through a microphone and ate and chewed with its eyes, and what it chewed would then run down its face into its mouth. But it was nice. Ew. And was very, it was very nice to the little kids. And just hearing that, it's it's obvious just two kids went to their parents and like, we saw a clown under the bridge. And so it's either really creepy that some guy was dressed like a clown talking to children, or it was just completely made up by kids.
Was that the only sighting? Is those
only
those
sighting,
two children.
So it's like, but I guess it's made its way into folklore despite that. But
just scary.
I don't know. They said it was really nice and it was afraid of people because it had been hurt before.
Definitely not made up.
No. Next one, I found this one on a list of the most hilarious cryptids. The Oviedo Dick Monster.
Say it again.
The Oviedo Dick Monster. It was spotted outside of Orlando in the woods where local teenagers went to smoke pot. And has only ever been seen by
stoners.
But it was described as 7 feet tall when fully erect. My words, or their words, not mine. And had legs where the testicles would be. So once again, just one of those things that apparently is a legend that is most likely just made up. But just the fact that that's a thing.
Did it have four legs? I'm confused.
No, it just had two legs. It was just,
and
a,
just
it was
no.
a giant phallus.
Giant walking penis.
Walking penis with legs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it now.
That was scary.
And then finally, this one is local, and we're actually recording right next to where it's been spotted. Have y'all heard of the Demon Dog of Valley Cruces?
I have.
Demon Dog of Valley Cruces.
Apparently, two guys said, and I've read the legend before, and there's a lot wrong with it, in the sense that just some geography in that is described completely incorrectly. But basically, they say they were driving through Valley Cruces, and a dog with like fiery eyes jumped out from behind a tombstone and started chasing their car and was able to keep up with it, even though they said they were hitting 70 miles an hour. My thing was, who knows, they probably just thought they were driving fast, and it was a normal dog that they saw. Shane, what have you heard of it?
It's essentially a similar story to that.
How have I lived here for 5 years and never heard about this? I thought you were just making a joke about my dogs.
No.
It's a legit thing. And it's also, I think I heard a lot of it too, of because, you know, we loved going to the park when we were younger, and I still do. But I heard a lot of it like told that, you know, you can't, to keep us like within the confines of the park, don't wander off or the demon dog could get you.
Man, that's creepy. We hear dogs barking outside all the time that we can't identify. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the demon dog.
I like it a bit, too, because it kind of reminds me of the Grimm from Harry Potter. Hmm. The whole legend with that. But one thing, it's actually caused problems. There's a church right down the road from us. There's actually a picture of it right above your head, Reggie. St. John's Episcopal Church. It's part of the legend, but it's caused a lot of vandalism at the church and has caused a lot of problems for the diocese that owns it. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's okay to have a healthy curiosity with this stuff, but don't go vandalizing stuff because you think something's there. And also just the way they described it, where they saw the dog had no plausible connection to the geography of mm-hmm. the area. So it's an interesting one. I just decided to throw it out there because it's local. Honorable mention, have y'all heard of the Face on Mars?
The man yes. on the moon.
Well, it's literally called the Face on Mars. There was a picture taken by a satellite that looked like mm-hmm. there was a straight face. Up face on Mars. They've taken pictures of it since then, and it's shown that the shadows don't. It was just a game of shadows, but it shows a lot of how our brain works. And one cool thing about the way our brain works is our field of vision is the size of a postage stamp held an arm's length away. And so everything outside of that tiny field of vision is constructed by our brain based on what it thinks should be there. So a lot of the stuff where it's like seeing something out of the corner of your eye is really just a trick your brain's playing on you. But it's if you look up Face on Mars, that's a really good example, because if you look at the actual picture, it does look like a face. Mm-hmm. But then if you look at another picture of it, it's just mountains.
Could it have been a smudge on the lens?
Smudge on the lens? No. It's actually a mountain range on Mars. It's just it was a
you're
game of the shadows.
You could tell the difference between a man threatening you and a smudge on a lens. Rick and Morty reference if okay. you watch Rick and Morty.
I need to watch that one.
It's a good one.
I haven't seen much of it. But yeah, that's my list.
Very cool. Right, that was a very fun list, and you have prepared an article for us as well to share.
Yeah, I found an article of cryptids, the most famous cryptid of each state. Probably don't have much time for me to read all 50 of them, so I figured we could focus around the Southeast. Starting with Arkansas, the Fook Monster.
The Fook Monster.
F-O-U-K-E, which is literally just Southern Sasquatch. A lot of these on the list are just a different version of Sasquatch.
That's why they're the Kardashians.
Yep. apparently the Arkansas iteration is quite violent. And was the basis for the film Legend of the Boggy Creek. Never heard of that one before.
Believe it or not, I have.
let's see. Continuing on. Florida, the Skunk Ape.
The Skunk Ape.
Yeah. Once again, it is Florida's own Bigfoot.
How is there not a giant lizard or snake or
something? Or giant 7-foot tall penis like I talked about earlier. Exactly. You'd think that would be the most famous. Let's see. It's big, hairy, and stinky.
So is it Bigfoot?
Yeah, it sounds like Bigfoot. Georgia is frozen Bigfoot.
Oh, God.
In August of 2008, two men claimed to have discovered the body of a dead Bigfoot-like creature near the North Georgia forest. Turned out to be a big hoax.
No.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Let's keep going. Reggie, you said you're from Illinois originally. That's one. The Enfield Horror.
Enfield Horror.
Yeah. Enfield, E-N-F-I-E-L-D. A small creature, roughly 3 feet in height, with a small body, small arms, pink eyes as big as flashlights, terrorized the town of Enfield in 1973. Was said to have leapt 40 feet in just 3 bounds.
Oh, it's got huge, sharp, pointed teeth.
What's that from?
Mighty Python, the Holy Grail. Monty Python, I would say Mighty.
Mighty Python,
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Keep moving on.
It's like an evil elf.
Did you guys watch Fire Saga? The Will Ferrell, what's the singing Eurovision contest?
Oh, no.
It's a movie about that.
I did not see that yet.
It was pretty funny, but there's a little Norwegian elf, murdering elf thing in there.
Interesting. Sorry, I lost my place in the article if you want to keep talking about Fire Vision.
Oh, it was just a funny movie. Rachel McAdams. Fun music, too.
Let's see.
Is the... isn't there another North Carolina cryptid of, like, the devil?
Little Red Man?
Little Red Man or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. I guess just a short guy who died in, like, a construction accident, and they said that they've seen him with a red tent. Did you ever have to go to, or have to get to go to Old Salem
as a field trip? I did go to Old Salem, yes. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's one of the... the legends based around Old Salem, which is a Moravian colony, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Next one, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. The Kelly Hopkinsville Goblin. Whether a hallucination spurred by too much moonshine, a Randy owl attack, or a genuine encounter, we may never know.
Did you say the words Randy owl?
A Randy owl attack. That's I'm reading words.
And owls can be vicious.
Owls are.
Oh yeah.
Vicious. They're adorable.
Mm-hmm.
A family was terrorized over 24 hours by a goblin, gremlin-like creature in metallic clothing that could float.
So non-Christmas Krampus.
Sounds like it.
I almost put Krampus on my list.
And then Louisiana, the Rougearou. Beast rooms near New Orleans is said to be a variation of the werewolf myth. Has the head of a wolf, body said to be a human. Origin tales is it's believed to have hunted down and devoured Catholics who did not follow the rules of Lent.
Yes, that's totally real.
I mean, it happened to me one year. I said I was going to give up chocolate, ate a piece of chocolate, got devoured.
We're all in the wolf's belly right now.
Next up, Mississippi Man-Bat.
Man-Bat.
This one sounds fake as well, like the Sandown Clown. One teenager's encounter with a half-man, half-bat creature in the small town of Mantachi. Looked like a man in a long black coat, but later he took on more of a bat-like form, complete with glowing red eyes. Sounds kind of like a vampire.
Yeah, so it's more vampire-ish.
Missouri is Momo. You ever heard of Momo? Not just a Monster Rancher character?
Momo. Isn't that scary bird thing that was scaring all the kids at the end of those YouTube videos?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That did have a similar name, but I don't think it was Momo.
What's Momo?
Is said to have a large pumpkin-shaped head and body and face completely covered in fur, makes unpleasant growling or gurgling noises, and emits a far more unpleasant odor. I feel like they just found a dying animal. keep
a little
going.
Bloated dying animal or something.
Nebraska, that's I guess that's more Midwest, but the phantom kangaroo. Oh,
I know about those kangaroo. Oh my god.
Yeah, a giant kangaroo that appeared it was observed in 1958,
and then people saw it everywhere.
Yeah, and it basically just said it was jumping in incredible lengths, leaps. They also think it was probably just escaped from a zoo. Because you know how, like, mid-1900s zoos were just a bunch of animals that...
just kind of thrown into a pen in low gates.
Some crazy guy just went to another country and brought back a bunch of animals, which then escaped.
I shall purchase all of them. Thank you.
And then one escapes, and everyone's like, it's a phantom.
North Kakalaki, the Moon-Eyed People.
Moon-Eyed People.
I came across these when I was doing my research, but they're dwarf-like, have large round eyes. Sounds a lot like the just what we consider a lot of pictures of aliens to be like in pop culture.
Does it have anything to do with the Brown Mountain Lights?
No, and I've heard that there haven't been many sightings of the Brown Mountain Lights.
That is sad.
In recent times, because I was actually looking those up because I didn't know if those were considered a cryptid or not. Next one, this one is in the South, but I like this one. Ohio, the Loveland Frogmen.
I know about them.
They were seen by cops and were just giant frogs with that walked on their hind legs. Sounds to me like maybe they saw a frog and were sleep deprived and it looked a lot bigger. One claimed to have shot and killed one and that it was just a giant tailless iguana. I didn't know there were wild iguanas in Ohio.
Maybe. Is Hawaii on there?
I've already passed that one. I can go back up. We can come back around to that one.
Circle back around to it.
Yes.
South Carolina, Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that one of the ones that you mentioned?
Yes. I mentioned specifically Lizard Man of Lee County.
Let's see. Not associated with the lizard people, the race of creatures said to control the world by disguising themselves as politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this guy sticks around swamps in Lee County, terrifying citizens, 7 feet tall, bulky, covered in dark hair with scaly lizard-like skin on its hands. I don't know many lizards with hair.
Yeah, I've heard the hair part of it.
Said to have 3 toes on each foot, 3 fingers on each hand, incredible degree of strength.
A ninja turtle.
I don't know. Some sightings have a tail, some do not. Tennessee, the Wild Man, theorized to be an escaped ape man from a traveling freak show, or possibly the beginning of the Bigfoot race. First appeared in McNairy County in the 1800s. Once again, yet another Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Chupacabra, already talked about that one. I think Virginia Mothman.
Oh, really?
Already, that one's a famous one. West Virginia, the Flatwood Monster. Group of basically just sounds like someone ran into Halloween decorations, but towering man-like figure with a round face with a red pointed hood. This one sounds weird, but the picture just kind of looks like someone ran into a Halloween decoration of a witch. That's all the South. Let's circle back around to Hawaii.
I lived in Hawaii. That's why I was curious.
Oh, nice.
As to what.
Anywhere else you've lived, Shane?
No, sadly.
Me and Shane are North Carolina bound.
I am.
I do not know the pronunciation of this one, but Minnehune.
Is it Bigfoot-like?
Mystical little people who range in height from 6 inches to 2 feet.
Opposite.
Are said to be excellent and industrious builders who can construct and engineer structures overnight. So apparently...
the things from Fraggle Rock.
there were some very tiny nuisance builders running around Hawaii building structures without following the building code or getting permits. But yeah, that's some of the famous state-by-state cryptids.
Lots of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seemed like it was... a lot of them were either what we consider an alien to look like or Bigfoot-like.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that list, Tom. That was awesome. Lots of Bigfoots like you warned us about. Lots of other things I didn't really know about.
I have big feet.
But Reggie, what is on your list of your favorite cryptids?
So, cryptids. I think everybody will know what my number one is once I get to it. But I had to look up the difference between a mythical being and a cryptid for mine because I kept wanting to I don't know. I had to look up a definition to help me narrow it down, and I'm pretty pleased with my list. I think there's probably a theme with it, too.
Uh-huh.
Number five on my list are gnomes.
Okay.
Specifically, when I was a kid, there was a Spanish show called David the Gnome.
Was it Spanish?
It was originally a Spanish show that was dubbed into English.
Okay, because I remember watching it.
Over, but it was about the gnome David and his wife. It's also where I first ever learned about gnome kisses, where you rub your noses together. No. And then also the other gnome influence in my life was the Goosebump books.
Yes.
The garden gnomes or whatever.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the earlier books that I actually remember reading. Mm-hmm. I also really liked the episode from Goosebumps. I don't know. Gnomes are super cute. I love their hats. They're not really known to be evil or anything.
I think they
like
look creepy
that.
Sometimes. But certain of them look creepy. Not all of them.
Fat and rosy noses and cheeks and cute little blue and red.
And you set them
jolly
out.
Jolly little dudes.
Jolly little things.
You set them out in the yard, and then the next morning they've moved.
Allegedly. I don't know. I don't have any garden gnomes. I really want to get some for my house, but we don't have any yet. Next on my list is unicorns.
Yay!
Unicorns have shown up throughout all kinds of history. I mean, it was even in the Hebrew Bible. Unicorns are mentioned. Although it's the Hebrew word translates to like ox as well as unicorn. So most... when I was doing my research, most people don't believe that what we think as a unicorn is what the Bible was referring to as a unicorn.
So did they not make it onto the ark?
That's what the story I was always told.
Me
that
too.
They were lazy and missed the boat, and that's why they don't exist now, is because they drowned. Who knows? I wasn't there.
You weren't?
No. I also really love unicorns besides the, you know, the magical properties of it and being a gay man. I love me some unicorns. The last unicorn cartoon from the 80s was a huge influence when I was a young kid. I loved that cartoon. I watched it over and over again. And then here recently, the show Gravity Falls.
Yes.
Unicorns in that universe are, as the guy puts it in the show, frustrating. they're very vain. The main unicorn's name is Celestabella Bethabel. Which I have one of those giant pool floats that's a unicorn I got for my birthday, and I named her Celestabella Bethabel.
But do not drink their blood, because the moment the blood touches your lips, you live a half-life.
Yes, that's Harry Potter rules.
Yep, don't drink it.
Don't drink it.
Did you ever play Robot Unicorn Attack?
I did, the mobile game, right, where you're jumping and stuff?
I never played it, I just saw the Adult Swim.
Well, and I like the stories of unicorn where their horns were swords as well. You know, the chosen one would pull the sword out and stuff. I think unicorns are magical and beautiful, and that's why they made my list.
And there's the Yu-Gi-Oh card horn of the unicorn that he always used.
Boom. next on my list was the jackalope. I actually have a jackalope on my wall.
Wasn't that a Pixar short before one of the movies?
Oh, I don't know.
I think there was a Pixar short about the jackalope.
Jackalope, half jackrabbit, half antelope. They were purposefully created by some taxidermies and sold to a sideshow. Not a sideshow, like a Mystery Shack type of attraction. I remember the jackalope mostly from America's Funniest Home Videos. when I was a kid, they always had that jackalope
they did.
Section between it, which I think that's what piqued my interest. That. No, you don't remember
no.
that? And then jackalopes are in that commercial. What is that? Lunchables?
Lunchables, yes, you say it's Lunchables.
Something mixed up or something like that. When I was reading about them, it actually is a little bit sad if jackalopes were actually seen. They were probably jackrabbits that were suffering from, and I do not know how to say this properly either, but Shop papillomoma virus, which is basically where they grow these hard keratin-like things that look like horns and can grow big like antlers. And so that's probably, if they were seen prior, that's probably where they came from. I had to put them on there. My next one are fairies. You know, besides the magical side of fairies and being gay, I also grew up in Germany when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
I lived in Germany for third, fourth, and fifth grade. And, of course, there's all those fairy tales that come out of Germany, specifically where the Black Forest is, which is where the Brother Grimm are from.
Yes.
Fairies in Germany were a little bit scarier than the fairies that you normally hear about. I was always told about the mushroom rings. And if you step into a mushroom ring, then you will be taken to the fairy realm and you'll be forced to dance forever with the fairies until you either die of exhaustion or you go mad. I also used to hear the story that if a small child stepped into the ring, then they would turn you into a fairy and you would join their civilization. So every time I saw a mushroom,
Were all German fairy tales just to put the fear of death in children if they didn't listen to their parents?
Yes.
Like, do your chores or you would die a horrible death.
I remember there was this book. It had the cover of it was a kid turning into a tree. And it was full of stories like that. Like, if you suck your thumb, the scissor man will come and cut your thumb off.
I remember that book.
And if you play with matches, you'll set on fire. And if you don't eat your food, you'll wither away and die. And like, I remember that book. But yeah, fairies definitely had to make my list. I also love the Renaissance fairies, the magical realm of creatures that can that have magic and can fly around with their little wings and stuff like that. And when we go to the Ren Fair, I have ears that I like to wear. My Ren Fair character is either elf or fairy descent.
What do you have to do in that Peter Pan movie to get the fairies to clap?
If you believe, you clap. The fairies have also been depicted in all kinds of stuff, from Artemis Fowl. I don't know if you guys read those books. I think it was recently a movie or something.
Yeah, I think it just released on Disney Plus.
But fairies were in that. Fairies are in Harry Potter.
They're lightning bugs.
Yeah, they were probably just lightning bugs before people knew what they were. And I also, being in North Carolina, I don't know what they actually are. I think they're called Appalachian cotton bugs. But when we first moved to Boone, we went to the farmer's market and bought some plants, and that was the first time I had ever saw this type of thing. Looks like a little fly, maybe like a gnat, maybe a little bit bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a cotton puff butt. And we call those fairies. Like, that's what we, ever since the first day I saw them, I thought they looked magical, and I call those fairies. And I, every single time I'm outside and I see one, I will call for Corey and be like, Corey, there's fairies here! You know, every now and then if you're, I try to snow white them and I put my hand out.
Yes.
And they'll land on me and I'll feel very, very blessed that day. My number one, I know this is going to be shocking. Merfolk. Mermaids and mermen. I've been obsessed with the Little Mermaid since I was a little child. I love water. Very, very, very drawn to water. I love swimming. I was on the swim team in high school. I love going to the beach. You have to basically drag me out of the, anytime I'm at water. I just love being in water.
Kicking and screaming.
Literally. as I grew up, I learned the real story of The Little Mermaid, written by Hans Christian Andersen, and I didn't actually realize that it was basically a story that he wrote about an unrequited, is that the right word?
Unrequited love.
Unrequited
love.
Gay romance love.
Oh.
He had a friend named Edward Cullen, and after, you know, years of, and this was like in the 1800s, I think 1837 was when The Little Mermaid was written. They have found documents of correspondence to each other. And Andersen wrote, "I languish for you as a pretty Calabrian wench. My sentiments for you are those of a woman. The femininity of my nature and our friendship must always remain a mystery." Colin did not feel the same way. In his own memoir, Colin wrote, "I found myself unable to respond to this love, and that caused the author much suffering." After Colin was married, Andersen wrote and released The Little Mermaid, which depicts himself as the sexual outsider who lost his prince to another. leaving the mermaid so saddened that she turned into sea foam after crying her heart out from grief, which is just such a beautiful, sad story.
Yeah.
I, you know, as a gay man, that really, you know, breaks your heart, and it's mm-hmm. a different time. And, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to love somebody that much and you know, not be able to...
I mean, fear for your life.
Yeah, fear for your life and stuff. I also found it interesting that the whole premise of The Little Mermaid is that he wanted to be part of Colin's world, which mm-hmm. everybody knows the song Part of Your World.
Yes.
What I did not realize was written by a gay man.
I did not realize that either.
You know, mermaids end up having a bigger importance mm-hmm. in my life that I didn't realize. But there was just something about The Little Mermaid that I was drawn to. I love the lore of mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely, mermaids were manatees.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when sailors were seeing them, women of that time were also a lot more voluptuous and curvy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a different standard of beauty. If you were rich, you were fat and you were pale, which signified that you didn't work and you mm-hmm. were able to eat lavishly. So sailors seeing these large manatee
mm-hmm.
mermaid tailed creatures out into the ocean, and with their probably deliria of drinking salt water or whatever it is, you know, then there's also the myths of mermaids, more of like the siren.
Yeah, I was going to ask about
luring
that.
Sailors to their deaths. My obsession, like I said, started when I was really young, and I actually have a merman tail.
Yeah.
An actual tail that you can take into water and swim. There's a couple companies out there that make tails. Mm-hmm. Two of them that I love is the Mertailor, which is what my tail is from, and there's another one, Finfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Those tails are a little bit more expensive, but one day I would love to get one. Some people make a lot of money doing kids parties as a merperson, which
wow.
I don't think I have the physique that anybody would want to hire to go sit at a kid party.
You also have a tattoo of a mermaid.
I do mm-hmm. have a mermaid tattoo. I have books about mermaids. Most people who know me, if they see something mermaid, they grab it, and I have a lot of mermaid memorabilia.
I thought that he had it, and Pete and Pete, the little brother, had a tattoo of a mermaid on his arm, but I guess he didn't. Did you ever watch that show?
I remembered watching Pete and Pete, but yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he had a tattoo of something.
It was Petunia, and it kind of looks like a mermaid, yeah. But it's not. It's got legs. I always thought he had a tattoo of a mermaid until I just looked it up.
I was worried when I was making my list that these were more fairy tales mm-hmm. and mythical creatures than cryptoids. I could have, you know, put in there like the Slender Man and mm-hmm. the, you know, those types of cryptids. But these are the ones that really, when I think about it, they really resonate with me. I did have two honorable mentions.
Yes.
That I don't think they're actually cryptids. I think they're more considered ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
But they're from my hometown of Wilkes County.
Okay.
Wilkes County.
There are two separate stories. The Ghost Bus in the Trap Hill community. You guys ever heard of this?
No,
I have not.
So the story of it is back in the 50s, there were two children who had an incredibly abusive father. And one day when the school bus was dropping them off, it got stuck in the snow
mm-hmm.
and it honked to signify to the cars that it needed some assistance. And the honk made the kids scared that their dad was going to wake up. And so they went behind the bus to try to help push the bus and get it out of the snow. And the bus rolled back and killed the two kids.
Mm.
So what you can do is you can take your car to this specific place in Trap Hill and you can put it in neutral and you will roll uphill.
Wait, I have heard of
this. There's one like that in near Pembroke, too.
I don't know what kind of weird phenomenon it is, but if you put your car in neutral, you will literally roll up the hill, and supposedly you can put powder on your bumper, and you'll see mm-hmm. the little handprints.
That is so wild, because there's something called the Gravity Hill in Maxton, North Carolina, which is right is Eastern North Carolina, so nowhere close to that. But
that's funny.
That's wild that there's multiple. Yeah.
I personally have done it.
Yes,
Corey, my husband, when we first started dating and we went home to visit my parents one time, I was like, all right, we're going to go and do these things. And so we went there and we did the flower on the bumper. And I swear I saw the fingerprints of the little kids pushing you up the hill.
We've done Gravity Hill as well.
It was creepy.
I've done neither and want to.
The other story from Wilkesboro is the lady on the bridge. I don't know exactly what the road is called anymore. I haven't lived in Wilkes in a while.
I
called my mom this morning to try to figure it out and she couldn't remember either, but it's the North Wilkesboro area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the story is of how she died, but the legend is if you drive over the bridge at night and once you cross the bridge, you turn your lights off and you reverse back over it. And then when you turn your lights back on, you'll see the woman standing on the bridge. I have done it with my friends back in high school and we never saw the witch or the woman mm-hmm. or whatever it was supposed to be. However, the thing with that story that always really creeped me out was there was a red rose that was growing in between the cracks of the bridge mm-hmm. where there was the cement of the bridge, kind of like the railing, you know, yes. what I'm talking about, like the sides where keeps you from falling off. It had cracked and there was a single red rose that was growing out of there. For years we always passed it and it was always there and it was always there, and it always kind of scared me because I was like, how is this rose?
Mm-hmm.
Finally one day I stopped, it was plastic. That's why it was always there. That's why it never withered. But I always made up my own story that was the rose from her, you mm-hmm. know, jilted lover who murdered her and threw her over the bridge. And that's why she haunts it. And any dumb soul who takes the flower will get got. That's why I never mess with it until, like, I was like, all right, I'm leaving for college. All right, let's go check out what that flower was real quick. Yes,
and it was fake.
There was an overpass when you were driving on 421 through Wilkes County that for the longest time had I Love You Sunshine spray painted on it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Maybe she was sunshine.
But like I said, those are more ghost stories, mm-hmm. but they are like kind of local legends, and that's where I'm from and my family still lives, and so I definitely had to throw those out there.
Absolutely.
The ghost bus kind of reminds me of that ghost train from Hey Arnold.
Ghost train. Football head.
All right, I think that does it for this week. We definitely hope you guys enjoyed. I think it was a really fun episode. I loved hearing your guys' favorite cryptids.
Kind of rambled a little bit. Sorry,
okay.
I didn't mean to monopolize so much time.
I thought I was the one rambling.
No, I didn't consider either of you rambling. Okay. I really liked to hear the stories at the end. I love hearing like the cryptid stories.
I have a ton of anxiety and just constantly afraid that I just ramble and monopolize on this podcast. So that makes me feel a little better.
Not at all.
Well, and you can tell when we're really into something because we like to talk about it.
Yes.
I was a lot more into this one than I was expecting. I'm very happy about how this one went.
Mine started off really slow when I was working and trying to figure it out. I knew mermaids was obvious mm-hmm. number one. And then I was like, oh, fairies. Yeah, that's very obvious too. And then I was thinking, I was like, what else do I like? And then once I actually started thinking about it and I was on a roll and I was like, oh, wait. Oh, now I have too many. I was like Shane. I was like, I've got 20 and I have to narrow them down. Like, what are the most influential and important ones for me?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd love to hear your guys' lists too. Any listener wants to send us your favorites, your lists, we'd love to get those. Maybe talk about them on air a little bit next episode. But if you'd like to find out more information about us, check out our website is totalnerdlists.com.
You can find social media.
On social media as well. We're on Facebook as Total Nerd List. You can catch us there. And then on Instagram and Twitter, we're also just Total Nerd List. Hashtag at us. Let us know what you think.
Send us your nerd stuff that you're doing. We'd love to share it in our stories.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We also love suggestions. If you want to hear something on a future episode, give us a suggestion and you might just hear it. And we also want to remind everyone, Jordy Marie Games, she's still streaming daily, and we encourage everyone to check it out. She's great.
Still doing her Animal Crossing thing.
Yes, Animal Crossing. She's gotten into Among Us and a couple others lately.
Nice.
It's been really fun.
Maybe she can do DBZ Kakarot.
Maybe.
Ooh, we'll suggest it to her.
Yes.
All right. Well, bye, guys. See you next time.
Bye.